Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
Another offensive meltdown for the Chicago Bears yesterday. Just 3 points on the board. Is it an offensive scheme problem? Is it a Shane Waldron problem? Why are you going to tell me that Caleb Williams is holding the ball too long and it's a Caleb Williams problem? 312-644-6767. It's a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you till 5 o'clock. After that, Dustin Rhodes jumps on. He leads you right into Mullion Hall at 5:30. They got three great guests, Olin Cruz, DJ Moore, Brad Biggs at 7, 8, and 9, respectively. Bernstein and Harris keep things going with Anthony Heron and Dan Wiederer. They'll be on at 11 and 1. Then Kurt Warner jumps on at 3 o'clock with Spiegel and Holmes. Mark Grody jumps on at 4 o'clock. Then Jalen Johnson wraps things up 5 p.m. with Spiegel and Holmes. What a day we have for you here at 670 The Score. All right, let's take your phone calls because today, at least my shift for that matter, is all about you. All right, and I want to hear what you got to say. Let's go to Nick out in Joliet. Nick, welcome to the show. What did you think about the game yesterday?
The game yesterday was terrible. I mean, as I was calling in, to me it looks very predictable, similar to what we went through with Luke Getsy. So, you know, when you get you guys running in motion and the defense already sees what's coming when the ball's released, it's kind of ridiculous. And you're spending more time behind the chains instead of in front of them. It's not common sense. It's common sense that you can see we're not adjusting anything that we're doing to help Caleb. Instead of doing three-step drops and quick slants, you know, he's more worried about having less on the sidelines sitting next to Caleb Williams when he's clearly frustrated that the stuff's not working.
Nick, the biggest issue is the Bears have no identity on offense. And to your point, you become predictable because you can anticipate what the Bears are going to do. There's no deception. There's nothing that's keeping offenses off balance. You see no counter runs. You see, no, it's just bad. No movement, moving the pocket. Like when they tried to move the pocket, it was like the worst thing ever that I was watching in real time. But they have no identity. They want to be a team that throws the ball 45 times because they think they have Caleb Williams and three amazing wide receivers, but that shouldn't be the identity of the Chicago Bears.
No. Well, I mean, our identity for years has been the running game. But at the end of the day, though, if you can't move the ball and you're sticking it behind the chains and you can't make the adjustments, you still have those issues and your identity's out the window no matter what. And it's no different than it was with Luke Getsy.
But look at the New England Patriots, right? They are a physical team that we saw yesterday, a lot of big bodies. And they said to themselves, okay, well, we don't have the most talented team, but our identity is going to be a physical one. And we're gonna try to ground and pound you and put Drake May into comfortable situations where he can convert on third and short. At least they know who they are. The Bears, yes, they have an identity crisis where they think they're one thing, but in actuality, they are another, and they're having trouble coming to grips with that.
I agree 100%. And I mean, like, it just goes back to my saying, it looks too predictable, like it was with Getsy and Fields. It's almost a eerie similarity to with Waldron and Caleb right now. And I hate to see another quarterback go down the tubes that we don't want to waste a draft pick on that we thought highly of when we brought him in.
Nick, would you be shocked if Shane Waldron was calling plays for the Bears on Sunday against the Packers?
I would be shocked because at this point he's proven that he can't adjust and utilize the talent that he's got on that team. Yeah. It's becoming a proven aspect at this point.
It shouldn't take this long to do something like that, Nick. I appreciate the phone call. 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here on 670 The Score, taking your calls. Let's go to Adrian out in Oceanside. Adrian, welcome to the show.
Hey, Gabe. Thank you for taking my call, man.
Of course. Talk to me.
Oh, my gosh.
It's okay. So, when it starts with a deep sigh, that's how you know we're going somewhere. So go ahead. I got you.
I need some space to stretch out on your couch here a little bit. I think everything you're saying are just like symptoms of a bigger problem, of the problem. And that's like just the Bears organization. They've been in this business for 100 years, right? And they have no idea how to run that business. And like,
say it like that, right, where you take out the football jargon and you're like, they've been running this business for, like, if it was Empire, you know, the carpet, you know, 588-2300 Empire, if they've been around for 100 years and they know what they're doing in the carpet business. So I see what you're saying.
But even if it was a restaurant, like, they're not even smart enough. Even if you don't know how to run that business, they're not even smart enough to, like, pull their head up, look around and say, who in this business has been successful? And let me try to hire someone from that business or that organization. And it leads me to say, like, what does Kevin Warren actually do here? What is your job?
He's like Tommy and Martin, you know, the people trying to figure out what his job.
Tommy had no job. Warren has no job. It seems like he's just taking advantage of some really idiotic rich people.
Kevin, and, Kevin, what do you do for the Bears? Come on, man. You know what I do for the Bears.
I mean, apparently he's supposed to build a stadium, and that was 2 years ago, and they seem further away from a stadium than they were 2 years ago.
But we were so high on Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren and what they were building here in Chicago. Adrian,
what has Ryan Poles actually done or built? Like
he's built a better team than he inherited. That's we can say that objectively.
Okay, okay, fine. He's at a little bit more talent, but they haven't won anything. And
that's what's frustrating about the present, is that he's finally built a team that looks like they should be good, but yet finally for the first time the Bears are underperforming, and that's the frustrating part.
Well, absolutely. It looks going to be deceiving. And I think Owen has been shouting from the mountaintops that you should be building from the inside out. And I'm also a Washington Huskies fan. I watch literally every single game Roma Dunze plays.
So am I. Yep, so did I.
And he is going to be a tremendous receiver. I have no doubt about it. But if you can't protect the quarterback, there's no point in having Roma Dunze out there. You can have God out there. It's not going to matter. And that, like, in the O-line stuff, like, he poses an O-line person, O-line guru, but he's drafting offensive linemen that are like him, that were, you know, smart and, you know, scraped every inch of his talent out of him. But he was bad. He was a bad offensive lineman. Find me the guy that's throwing the person in the third row, like, ripping their arms
off.
Like, besides, like, a quarterback, I haven't seen our organization have offense, a left tackle, right tackle, whoever, be an absolute game record and dominant. And that's even more frustrating as a side thing from the quarterback thing.
It's a great
thing. And I just feel like we're ruining Caleb.
Yeah, I think that I feel like
again,
I tweeted out
another quarterback.
I tweeted out yesterday that I felt like the Bears had broken Caleb Williams. That's what it looked like in real time watching this game. Thanks for the call, by the way, Adrian. I appreciate when you chime in all the way from California on the Odyssey app. But it is frustrating in those moments. And you do point to a bigger picture. There is a level of arrogance surrounding the Chicago Bears. And I talk about it often from a player's perspective that we as fans buy into these players so much and make them out to be these superheroes. And then when they don't live up to that billing, you know, we come down on them. But again, and I count that to arrogance from the players, right? But it's our fault. We do it. We do it. Not the players. We do it. And I think sometimes the same thing holds true for this organization at the top, where there's a level of arrogance that exists that, you know, no, we made the right decision. Don't worry, guys. We know what we're doing. We did it right. Or the inability to point out faults, like keeping Velus Jones a little too long, right? And in this instance, I mean, 9 weeks, you got to be doing more. That's it. Your job's up. And I never call for people's job, ever. That's not a thing I do. But you cannot tell me after what we saw over the last 3 weeks that you want to allow Shane Waldron to continue to call the plays because you have some percentage of you that believes he's going to be better and good enough to bring the Bears back to where they should be. No, zero faith in that. And I hope Brian Poles feels the exact same way. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Will out in Auburn. Will, why can't the Bears, specifically Shane Waldron and Caleb Williams, get the playmakers the ball?
Shane's not calling the right plays and Caleb playing bad. Put those two things together and, you know, like everybody's saying, is DJ Moore is frustrated with Caleb Williams.
Yes.
Yesterday, I looked at almost every huddle, man. When they were calling the plays, I was looking at specifically at Swift. And he was just shaking his head while they were calling the play. I'm serious. If you go back and look
I'm going to pay attention to that when I do that.
It wasn't long after that they took him out. And they had Roshon Johnson in for the rest of the game, mainly to block. But when they were getting the play signaled in, and they were calling, he was shaking his head. The frustration that DJ Moore had is with the play calling. Do you remember beginning of last year when they were saying other teams' defensive backs were clowning DJ, saying, man, we feel bad for you. They ain't using you right.
Yep.
You remember
that? Yep.
Okay, he got past that. And think about what he had. There's nobody that was on the other side of the field catching the ball last year that's still on the Bears now. Hmm. So some of them not even in the league. The kid from Cincinnati they thought was going to be the speed burner, he can't find his way on the field.
Tyler Scott, yeah.
You know, Velus Jones is gone. Dante, what was the other guy's
Dante
name?
Dante Pettis, Equanimeous St. Brown.
All of them. That's who he had last year. And I'm not trying to be a human Justin Field jockstrap or nothing like that, but at least he could buy himself some time when that line. And he had been playing behind garbage lines for 3 years, so he knew what to do. And they called the man a running back. He was running for his life. He wasn't running like that in college.
Right.
But he had a line. He had a better line in college than he had any years in the pros until he got to Pittsburgh. So I'm saying Shane Waldron, they're not going to fire him. I will not be surprised if he's calling the plays again because I don't understand what it is. Everything that he's doing here, everybody played for Seattle and coached at Seattle, said he was doing that there. That's why he was out of a job.
Right. Jackson Smith and Jigba, those guys were talking poorly about him.
What kind of baby oil did he bring to the interview? I mean, because I don't understand that.
I'll tell you what it is, Will, and we've seen it with a lot of Ryan Poles' moves. He takes the safe, nice guy. You know what I mean?
Well, I understand that football is a cerebral sport to a point, but we have too many, especially in the trenches. Everybody on there, it's like, oh, this guy is such a high character guy, and this, that, and the other. You need guys on the line on both sides that you got to chain up in the basement until Saturday night.
Right. I do not want Christian Kemp counselors as my offensive lineman. And I've gone to a lot of Christian camps and I know how nice they are. So that's why I say that. But no, you're right. There needs to be a dog. But again, I think that I talked about this earlier, Will, where I said sometimes when you're a manager or a boss of a company, you have to make a personality hire. You know what I'm saying? If everybody's the same, right, you might take someone that's not as qualified, but it's a personality hire. You think it's going to fit a little better with it. And I think in this instance, there's too many people that are the same, right? You need that dog in there.
When you say identity for the team, if they don't even know their identity. Because,
that's my point,
like,
yeah.
All the talking that the players are doing right now, if you don't hear any of them saying, but like back in the day, man, we can get back to winning if we run the ball.
Right.
They're not saying specific things that they can identify with that they know they do well. They're just saying, we need better plays. I need to get the ball. They're not saying anything that's identifying themselves. And that's because they don't know what it is. And as long as we have the type of coaching staff and everything that comes up in here. And they're probably very nice people. I looked at the show. I saw Eberflus with his wife and their daughters. Oh, what a great family. Send their ass back to Indianapolis.
I tell you what he needs to do, Will. Coach Eberflus needs to come in Monday on his little Zoom meeting that he has with a shaved beard. I'm out. Got to get rid of the beard. Something got to go. If it ain't Shane Waldron, then it's got to be the beard.
But he was 10-24 without the beard.
With a bad team. I don't know. I need you locked in. You're looking too pretty right now. I need you like Caleb Williams when he was at the NFL draft combine, looking all scruffy like he hadn't had a haircut in months. That's what I need. I don't want you telling me about how your wife is dressing you and told you to put the beard. No. Kanye, lock me in the room making 3 beats a day for 3 summers. That's what I need. I need that. I need the Kanye West. I need college dropout version of Coach Eberflus. I need you hungry again. Jeez. I know you're just as mad as I am. We're going to take some more phone calls. 312-644-6767. I'm going all the way to 5 o'clock with you guys. Then right after that, Dustin Rhodes comes on for the pregame show, leading you right into Mullion Hall. Mullion Hall, after that, Bernstein and Harris, then Spiegel and Holmes. And there's an all-star lineup. Olin Krutz at 7. DJ Moore at 8. Then you got Mark Grody at 4, my guy. And then following him, Jalen Johnson at 5 p.m. with Spiegel and Holmes. It's going to be a great day here on 670 The Score. And the next 45 minutes is going to be equally as great because I'm going to be talking to you. Thoughts on this Bears game? Where is your frustration being projected towards? Is it Coach Flus? Is it Waldron? Because I know Will said that he wouldn't be shocked if Shane Waldron was calling the plays on Sunday, but I'll tell you, I will. I will boycott the game on Sunday. I will not watch the game in real time. I'll watch it back a little bit later, but I will not watch the game if Shane Waldron's there. I promise you that. Why? Because I cannot. I won't be able to stomach that game. Bears lose by 20. I got to watch it? No, I refuse to. All right. I want to hear from you, though. 312-644-6767. Your call's next. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on 670.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Score.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
Coach Eberflus is now 14-29 as the head coach of the Chicago Bears. Woo! You're talking about a guy who started off as a linebackers coach with the Cleveland Browns back in 2009. Then went to become a linebackers coach and the defensive pass game coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys for 6 years. Then went to the Indianapolis Colts. Of course, he was a defensive coordinator there for 3 years and then becomes the head coach of the Bears. It's tough sledding right there, man. Offensive coordinator certainly needs to do their job. If you're Coach Eberflus, you focus on one side, you hire the guy to do the other. Can't get Cole Kmet the ball. You know who's second in the NFL in catch percentage? In the NFL, not the NFC North, not on the Bears. Second in the NFL in catch percentage. It's Cole Kmet. That's a ridiculous stat. Clearly, there should be something else going on there. But you saw Caleb Williams. He almost did it like a... Fine. You want me to throw the ball at Cole Kmet? Here. All right. I did it. I'm done now. Don't complain anymore. A lot of frustrating moments in this one. Bears lose to the New England Patriots 19-3. They've now lost three straight after winning three straight against the Rams, the Panthers, and the Jaguars. How will they fare in this last stretch of the season where their next games are against Green Bay, Minnesota, Detroit, San Francisco, Minnesota, Detroit, Seattle, Green Bay. Quite the gauntlet for the Chicago Bears. But who's going to be calling the plays? Will it be Shane Waldron? Let's go out to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Tom out in Princeton. Tom, what do you think about Shane Waldron and what he's done so far?
I think we should give him his participation trophy and send him on his way.
Fair enough. That's almost like what he deserves.
It's terrible. He's, he's calling these plays, and I don't know the whole dynamics, but if Matt Eberflus hears that play in the headset and doesn't overturn it, well, then it's on Matt Eberflus as well. That stupid sideline pass they threw yesterday was about a tenth of a second from being a pick six. That is the worst play ever, and he's got to go. As far as Caleb Williams, He can't hold the ball too long because every time the ball is snapped, he's running for his life. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, there's certainly moments like that where, you're saying to yourself, what is going on? What is Shane Waldron thinking? Right? We've seen him do an end around to DJ Moore on a 3rd-and-2, 3rd-and-3 that doesn't work. We've seen him do screens to DJ Moore that doesn't work. Very frustrating in that moment when you're thinking about, this Bears team and the talent that they have. 3rd-and-3, the one thing that Caleb Williams can do well is get you 3 yards on a pass, 3 or 4 yards. He can make that one. He's holding the ball too long because he's being asked to convert a 2nd-and-10 and 3rd-and-10 after a sack or something like that. I'm telling you right now, they're asking Shane Waldron specifically is asking too much from Caleb Williams. Yes, he's the number one pick. Yes, he has weapons. So what? Why don't you just make it easy for him so that way he can build his confidence? And then if you want to put more on his plate, once he feels as though he's arrived, then you could do that later on. That's the frustrating part for me. That we've had two offensive coordinators and Luke Getsy, three, if you're talking about Matt Nagy, three people that have been calling offense for the Chicago Bears that can't seem to figure out their ideology and the talent that they have and make them come together to work. There seems to be a disconnect constantly. And I'm not quite sure why that is. But maybe you have the answers. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Alan out in Palatine. Alan, what's your thoughts on Shane Waldron? Do you agree? Do you feel like me? Because look, Alan, I don't call for people's jobs ever. Ever. Even Luke Getsy never called for him, never called for that, never called for Nagy, none of that stuff. But here I am, and I can't see any other way out of this trap that I'm in right now.
I agree with you 100%. He needs to go. I mean, what offensive coordinator wouldn't want Swift, Clement, Allen, and Moore on their team? I mean, he's just incompetent. I mean, like you said, a bubble screen when it's 3rd and 3. I mean, you can't give him a slant play or, I mean, you hit it right on the nail. I mean, it's not really Caleb Williams because his average, I mean, his quarterback rating was pretty damn good in the first 3 or 4 games, really. You know what I'm saying? So you can't really blame it on the kid. I just don't think they're calling the right plays. And I would have a fullback. I'd be, like, mass protecting, you know, in the backfield. What's wrong with having Johnson or even, like, a Swift in the backfield?
But how frustrating was Allen when Caleb Williams, I believe it was, like, in the 3rd or 4th quarter, he calls for max protection. He brings in Roschon Johnson. He brings in Cole Kmet to act as extra blockers. And he still gets sacked on that play. Like, it was so frustrating to watch that one.
Oh, it was. Absolutely. Well, he's not calling the right plays. You got to get rid of the ball within 2 or 3 seconds. You know what I mean? You got to have a slant play. You mean Moore or Allen can't get a 3 or 4 yard catch? I mean, and they're Pro Bowlers. I mean, something's not right here. I mean, you're tight end. You're not using them. I mean, you've brought it out several times. I mean, don't they listen to what the media is telling them? I mean, how do you not use Matt Clement until like the 3rd or 4th quarter? I mean, it's embarrassing.
Yeah, you see Cole Kmet on the field, and the inability to give him the ball is certainly frustrating. And you do have a lot of weapons, and you know, spreading the ball around is difficult, right? If people are getting frustrated, especially when there's lack of productivity there, everyone feels as though they're the one to change it. You saw DJ Moore in the beginning of the game catch that pass, and that was the most emotion I'd seen from DJ Moore since he's been a member of the Chicago Bears. And I believed every word he said. Give me the ball. Give it to me. I'm the man. Throw it to me. You got that cut, Tyler? Listen to what DJ Moore said at the end of his locker room media session about the Chicago Bears offense. And tell me if you think this is a shot at Caleb Williams. Oh, give me a second here. We're going to pull it right up again. DJ Moore was very candid by his locker room, and he has been. He's been frustrated, more frustrated than we've seen him. But take a listen to this cut and tell me what you think.
A lot of man coverage. He got a lot of playmakers on the field that can beat man coverage. We just didn't get it done today.
They played a lot of man coverage, and we have a lot of guys that can beat man coverage. Just didn't get the ball today. Like, you gotta be hearing what he's saying. I'm telling you, Caleb Williams and DJ Moore, there is something there. And I ran to the sidelines and I went out of bounds, you know, because I'm trying to sabotage the team. No, not that. I think it's just very simple. I think you have a guy in DJ Moore who just had his career year last year and feels like, bro, just give me the ball, right? And then you have Caleb Williams who's like, listen, I'm the man. I got you. Don't worry. I'll get you the ball.
And I remember us having a conversation about a month or so ago about whose relationship with Caleb Williams is more important between Roma Dunze and DJ Moore.
Yep.
And I felt like it was DJ Moore just because, again, the hope is Roma Dunze, this is the only quarterback he'll play with for majority of his career. DJ Moore has already been through, 4 to 5 starting quarterbacks? You don't want him to have to go through another one.
And you're talking about quarterbacks that were humble when dealing with DJ Moore because they understood he was a great wide receiver. When it comes to Caleb Williams is not bowing to his receivers. He's not bowing to them. You see him talking to Roma Dunze? He does not talk to DJ Moore and Keenan Allen the same way he talks to Roma Dunze. Roma Dunze is more his speed. He's going to listen to what Caleb Williams has to say. Caleb Williams is going to feel like he's, hey, I'm the quarterback, you listen to me. And Roma Dunze is like, yeah, bro, I'm a rookie too. I saw you ball out at USC while I was at Washington. I understand. And they can have that relationship. But Caleb Williams cannot talk to when Caleb Williams is on the podium talking about, oh yeah, he's all sensitive. Right? Or it sounds like he's whining to me or whatever that line was when he was talking about.
He's more bossy.
Yeah, he's a little bossy. He's a little bossy. Like, just those kinds of things. It all comes from somewhere, people. It all comes from somewhere. You You saw DJ Moore missing a play. Caleb Williams rolls his eyes. You see on the fourth and four when Caleb Williams scrambles for the first down, DJ Moore is wide open crossing the middle. When Caleb Williams scrambles for the first down, you would think that's your teammate. You should be excited. Be happy. What is DJ Moore doing? In frustration, removing his chin strap because he's mad he didn't get the ball on that play. 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez here on a Plumbers 911. Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. Got so much stuff going on for you guys. I'm going till 5 o'clock. That's when I hand it off cleanly to Dustin Rhodes. He takes over with the pregame show. That leads you right into Mully and Hall. They got Olin Cruz at 7. DJ Moore, who I was just talking about, they got him at 8. Then Bernstein and Harris, they got Anthony Heron and Dan Weeder at 11-1. Spiegel and Holmes, Kurt Warner at 3. Mark Grody at 4. Jalen Johnson at 5. What a day we have in store for you. But you guys need it. You guys deserve it after having to suffer through that Bears game yesterday. Bears lose to the Patriots 19-3. We're going back out to the phones. Let's go to Mike out in Lake Zurich. Mike, a lot of people, you know, they go to Waldron, then they go to the offensive line, then they go to Caleb Williams. But it's quite a while before you start hearing things about Ryan Poles.
All right. Well, the fact of the matter is he blew it with Nate Davis bringing him in, and he's kind of blown it with Keenan Allen, okay? For $20 million, he could have gotten two stud offensive linemen, and we could have got made do with Moore and Roma Dunze. We don't need Keenan Allen, so that's the reason that the team is all screwed up. They got a horrible offensive line, and he didn't bring in enough horses to make it a good, solid offensive line. That's the crux of the entire problem. And, you know, Poles appears to be getting a pass over all this stuff. I haven't heard anybody complain about it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you that he should have addressed the offensive line not only in this year but last year as well. He, you know, had that level of believability in Braxton Jones, and he thought, oh, I'm going to pair him up with Darnell Wright, and my tackles are taken care of. Instead of looking at Braxton Jones, the fifth-round pick, as a swing tackle that he is, and not addressing that thing. Now, I will say this when it comes to Keenan Allen. I mean, obviously the Bears hadn't drafted Roma Dunze yet, right? So it was DJ Moore and Keenan Allen supposed to be the two guys there for Caleb Williams. They got lucky that Roma Dunze fell to them, and they just, you know, they felt like they needed to take the guy there. But there are other instances where the Bears could have used a draft pick on an offensive lineman, fourth-round pick, Torrey Taylor, where just at least bringing in a depth piece, somebody there, right, in that situation. So, again, Poles, I think he's done a great job of breaking down the team and bringing in more talent, but whereas maybe you might have thought he had like an 80% success rate, once you take a macro look at what he's done, it's a little bit closer to 50-50 than we actually would have liked. Mike, but I appreciate the phone call because you're right, people should be talking about Ryan Poles and the job that he's done. All right, let's go back out to the phones. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Dave on the north side. Dave, welcome to the show.
Thank you again for taking my call.
Always.
Thank you all doing that. I know you're doing the best job you can, but the biggest problem of the Bears, they went out and got these inexperienced coaches. You know, they need coaches that know how to call a game according to the team's strength. You know, call it a game that's to Caleb Williams' strength, you know, and not make him look bad. 9 sacks in one game, that's because that they didn't address the offensive line. They skipped over making a choice for an offensive line to get a receiver. And Aduze, I may not be pronouncing his name right, but you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, fix the offensive line and go from there. You know, and I just ask this question. What sense do it make to put a 10,000 job, paint job on an automobile in the engine shop? What I'm saying is the offense and defense is the engine of the team. So until you fix that, you just burning money. You know, thank you for taking my call.
No problem, Dave. I appreciate it. Always feel free to call in, man. I love hearing from you. I mean, it is frustrating. Look, I've said it when the Bears were 4-2 and the offensive line wasn't playing as well, or they were dealing with some injuries and Nate Davis wasn't playing well. I said, hey, in the grand scheme of the rebuild, There's still one more offseason to go. All right, the Bears aren't a finished product that we can evaluate as a whole and say, hey, this is who, this is it. This is the squad. And this is like, we knew there were some holes because Poles can't fix, you know, you can't plug them all in one offseason. And so this was going to be the offseason to fix the offensive line. Your defense is, you know, under contract and playing well. You know, you got your DJ Moore locked up, your Roma Dunze, your Caleb Williams on the offensive side, along with DeAndre Swift. So all that was left to fix is the offensive line. You would have loved for them, but to Dave's point, that's something that probably should have happened first, right? Maybe instead of a second interior defensive lineman when you took Javon Dexter and Zach Pickens, maybe one, and then maybe you should have gotten off, you know, you should have drafted one. Maybe you should have paid the money in the offseason to a better offensive lineman and just kind of bring him in to right the ship. But again, so I want to give him grace in thinking that I want to allow you to have one more offseason to really complete this team. But it doesn't take away from the fact that that position in particular is has been neglected by the Chicago Bears. Neglected. And you can say, well, Gabe, they drafted Darnell Wright. Yeah, they did. They had to. Yeah. They had to, they definitely needed to draft somebody right there because, anyway, how about I let you say it? Going to take a break, and they're going to take a couple more calls before I get up out of here. But I do want to hear from you, my passionate Bear fans that are out there and they want to talk about this game and the frustration that you had to deal with over the last couple of hours. 312-644-6767. Your call's next. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on 670 The Score.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
Coach Eberflus said we need to execute better in the postgame. But is execution the problem? Has this team lost its direction already? It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score, leading you in to the pregame show at 5 o'clock with Dustin Rhodes. And then it's good. Gets real good. Hugely good. Damn, I shouldn't have did that. But it does, because Olin Krug jumps on at 7 o'clock with Mullion Hall. DJ Moore jumps on at 8. Anthony Heron and Dan Weeder hang out with Bernstein and Harris at 11 and 1. Then Spiegel and Holmes, they got three great ones for you. Kurt Warner at 3, Mark Grody at 4, and Jalen Johnson at 5 o'clock. Definitely want to hear what he has to say about this loss, because it was a tough one. And I want to hear what you have to say as well. 312-644-6767. Let's go out to Steve in Plainfield. Steve, would you be shocked if Shane Waldron's calling the plays on Sunday against the Green Bay Packers?
No, no way. That would actually be exactly what I would think would happen. You know, I don't think the Bears ownership and whatever, whoever's up there, they don't care about winning, Gabe.
Of course they really don't. That's silly. That's a silly statement. Come on, that they don't care about winning. I understand what you're saying, and I get the frustration, but it's silly to say that the Bears ownership don't care about winning.
I don't know. It seems like they don't, and I mean, with their history, knowing their penny-pinching ways,
here's the better statement. They're bad at it, right? They're bad at winning. They don't know how to win. That's a better statement than they don't care about it, right?
You can be this bad? You can be this bad at winning, man? Jeez.
Yes, they are.
I think you said it, or no, was it the caller that said it earlier? I made a whole list, Gabe. I don't know where to go with it.
Oh, man.
But the caller earlier, they said it, this was one of the original franchises, right?
Yeah.
Everything was great. 63, they won that championship. But since then, 85, they had a great draft. Everything came together. Ditka, right, had passion for the team because he played for the Bears. But, boy, I was born in 87, buddy. That doesn't matter to me. I need to see something, man.
Yeah.
I'm always going to love the Bears. They're always going to have a big place in my heart, but I think that I'm as disillusioned as I can get. I do think that them, I'll just say this, right? I got a lot of thoughts, but I'll just say this. If they ruin Caleb Williams' career, I think that's a rock bottom for the Bears, man. It just has to.
I mean, it has to be, right, Steve?
It's going to be a lot of self-reflection.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about an organization that, I mean, they had the luxury of picking first in a draft class of quarterbacks that some might say, you know, is the best in quite some time, especially after the success that these rookies have had this year. And that's what Michael Penix not even taking a snap yet. It's frustrating. But again, I think they're just, that's if that happens. But man, they got a long way to go. 312-644-6767. Let's go out to Jerome on the north side. Jerome, good to talk to you again. Thoughts on this game?
Hey, Gabe. Thanks for taking my call. This is my first time. I think the problem is this GM. And he lost me when he botched up Roquan Smith and Baltimore paid him. We're in last place almost every year. In this area, you can go from worst to first. I'm just so frustrated. It's bad. I've lost my thing. I'll call back next time. Thanks.
All right, Jerome. It was your first time. You got a little nervous, you know. I get it. Pulled the trigger too quick. Got to have your thoughts. It's hard when you're hearing yourself, too. But he said Ryan Poles was clueless. That's what he said in the blurb that he had. Ryan Poles is trying, like everyone else, to make the right decisions. He's made them sometimes, like the DJ Moore trade. And he's made bad decisions other times, right? It's hard. You're not going to get them right all the time, but there's something in the air in Chicago that's just, I don't know if it's got to be the pressure, right? And I'm not talking about just Poles. I'm talking about the pressure for Flus, the pressure for Waldron, the pressure for Caleb, the pressure for, you know, Cole Kmet, DeAndre Swift, the offensive lineman. Like, there's so much pressure on these guys to perform at a high level. I think sometimes they get in their own heads. Caleb Williams too busy thinking about people complaining that Cole Kmet didn't get a target. Trying to get DJ Moore to ball so he doesn't complain. Still feeding Keenan Allen because he's your sure-handed guy. Oh, and don't forget, you got Rome Odunze. It's tough. It's extremely tough. I'm take one more. Let's go to Roger out in Naperville. Roger, talk to me.
Yeah, well, I'm saying basically, why did we not go after a veteran? Why have we put this rookie quarterback on a pedestal? Remember, Peyton Manning was 3-13, whatever he was when he started. So what do we expect? You know, we're going to go through this. And Russell Wilson, in my opinion, if he was here, it would have been a little different. He can, you know, he can learn from him a little bit how to run the offense or see, like some of the, you know, when you had some of the receivers that were open right in the beginning, and he just looked off on it. And the TV commented it all. Reminded us, hey, hit that 2-yard guy, a 3-yard guy. We have put this kid on a pedestal. He's a good quarterback, but he's never been able to. I don't think it's going to take him at least a year or two. You know, you have to be under some kind of veteran presence.
Yeah, it's something. It's something that the Bears have struggled with in the past. I mean, obviously, they tried to have Andy Dalton there for Justin Fields. That didn't necessarily work out the way that they wanted to because of injuries. But yeah, there's been twice this year where I've looked at Anthony Richardson when facing the Bears, got to go to the sideline and talk to Joe Flacco. You see Justin Fields gets to go talk to, you know, Russell Wilson. I mean, there is value in that, right? I mean, would a Ryan Tannehill been good as a backup to have Caleb Williams at least talk to somebody who played the position at a high level? He's coming to the sideline and talking to absolutely nobody. He's talking to Shane Waldron smirking at him, which is absolutely frustrating. But yeah, again, there's moves that could have been made, maybe should have, that a lot of us are questioning right now. But ultimately, man, I got to say it before I leave. It's the Shane Waldron thing that's just blowing my mind. You can't from the Commanders game where there was lack of offense, the entire season where they haven't been able to score in the first quarter. Then you go to Arizona, you don't put up anything there. And then you say to yourself, okay, listen, we're not going to fire you. We're going to give you one more chance. And how about this? We're going to give you the New England Patriots, a team that if the season would have ended before the game, they would have had the number one pick in the draft. You get to fix your offense against them. and then you put out that performance? How can I trust you with the play calling moving forward? How can I, with sound mind and sound heart, think that you are somehow going to fix everything? Impossible for it to happen. Give me my music, Maestro, because I'm about to get up out of here. Want to thank my executive producer today, Tyler Farrengol, for handling business. Baby T. I said that's his radio name. Who gave you that name? It was me. The hardest game banger at 670 The Scores. Baby T, Tyler Farrengol. All right. As mentioned, Dustin Rhodes coming up next at 5 o'clock with the pregame leading you into Mullion Hall. They got Olin Cruz at 7, DJ Moore at 8. You're certainly going to want to hear that. Bernstein and Harris, they got Darren Weeder and Anthony Herron. But on the tail end, Spiegel and Holmes, Jalen Johnson, 5 o'clock. You got to make sure you're here for that. All right, mi gente, that means my people. Hasta la próxima, that means until next time. I am Gabe Ramirez. I will be back next Sunday as well, or Monday morning, I should say. So make sure you hang out with me, all right? Right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.